Father, thank you again for this book we'll open, Lord. Lord, it can't help but puzzle you. And I wonder, you can see how the apostles were like they were in their days. They looked at what was going on in and around Jerusalem. We can understand in our day why we have that puzzle in our heart and mind to see something that's so simple that God trying to reveal himself to us from the spiritual world into this world through his precious book that he inspired to be written about him and his plan and his purpose, gives us his Holy Spirit that we might have him abide in us as a child of God to help us understand God's plan and purpose. And then it becomes so real to explode in our heart, we can't sometimes grasp why others can't allow to do the same thing in their heart. But I know this, no matter what people believe in this world, no matter what God they follow, none of those gods can love them like you love them. None of those gods done anything for them like you have for them. You proved your love to this world from beginning to end since Adam's day when Jesus Christ came and took our sin. And our Father, I think one of the reasons why we have so much commotion in our day, even among religious groups, a lot of times that we just fail to realize what this new birth is. It's not joining the church. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not starting out a new way that you just want to change. Because if we do that in our own self, it won't be long before we change right back to where we were at. It's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And even though we're saved, we bring a lot of baggage with us. There's a circumcision of the flesh that Paul talks about, a cutting away of that filth for the flesh, in turn that we make decisions for the glory of God because of the Holy Spirit living in us, though we fail you in many ways. And our lifestyle certainly begins to be conformed. Why can you conform us to the image of God's Son? Because you transform us. You change us thoroughly through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if we sincerely trust in you as our Savior. And then, Father, you find yourself conforming us in the sense that you are bringing us into something that we were not. And we have that because we've been born into your family. Now help us understand it more as we open this up tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if we go back and we look in chapter 8, we were down about 28 and 29 last week. We read them. I'm not going to read them tonight, but I want to go back and lead up to these. And when we get to this, I'm going to go in detail, and then we'll move on to some other verses. But if we go back and where we left off a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the eternal court of God, being in that, and that's where we're going to be one day. The child of God's going to be at the bema seat of Christ, going to Paul, talking to church, writing to the church of Corinth, to be judged according to our works. In turn, that rewards or not rewards. 1 Corinthians 3 gives us that information. The unsaved people, we know, is going to be at the great white throne judgment, the book of Revelation, in turn, to be judged out of the books because of their sins. And they'll be judged according to their sins, and in hell, there'll be degrees given when this goes into that, and death and hell be cast into the lake of fire at that time in those books. So there's two different places of judgment, one for the child of God, for his works and so forth, and God is faithful, and God is true, and he gives us, tries our works by fire. He said, we'll see him go in there. If he comes out wood, hay, and stubble, then it's burnt up. It comes out gold, silver, and precious stone. Then the rewards give out because they withstand the fire. So in God's court, we have been granted a full right to heaven. That's the high legal standing we enjoy right now. The fact that you and I have the right to heaven is the legal standing that God gives us through Jesus Christ. Now, we look at Colossians a few minutes, and he tells us that we're complete in him. When you're complete, you can't add anything to it. Now, I can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But when I was born physically in this life, the physical birth was complete as much so as the DNA that gave my mother and dad gave to me. But when I came in and born in the body of flesh, I had done a lot of things since I've been born here to help this flesh. And when you're born into the family of God, I had everything I needed in my DNA when I was in it, who I would be in physical birth at conception. That's the reason that we are who we are at conception, not just 9 years later after prenatal period. And when I came to this world in a physical body, then I have been developing in many ways in that physical body, which makes life a lot easier to develop. To be born into the family of God is to be born spiritually. And we've said that number of times when they corrupt the seed of God. And so what happens there, the day I got saved, then I began to put on and grow in grace and knowledge and began to adopt and move towards the direction. The Bible calls that sanctification after we've been justified. Justified means been declared right. Sanctification means that you have been changed by the word of God. You remember what Jesus said in John 17, I think it was, that sanctified through thy truth, thy word is truth. It's to set us apart. When you got saved, you didn't know what a Christian was. You thought you knew, but I guarantee you, everything I thought a Christian was has changed since I got saved. Because my idea of standing outside says, look what I thought a Christian ought to be. But when you get saved, then you begin to learn. Now, the problem you're going to see going through these next few verses is this. We brought a lot of baggage over with us in the Christian life. And how do you deal with that? That's what Paul is trying to show us. Paul knew he had Christ. Paul knew he was a new creation. Paul knew that he was born in the Spirit of God. But Paul had some baggage with him that came over, and no matter what he did in trying to put it down, Satan always knew when to bring it up. And did you know Satan brings something 30 years ago up? If he gets you thinking about it, he'll get you thinking, whether I don't know whether it makes any difference how I live or not, because I don't even find me. If he can get you think God didn't forgive you back there, he'll get you think God can't forgive you now. And so he has a lot of baggage. And growing in grace and knowledge helps us remove that baggage. It's called putting away the filth of the flesh, or like Paul put it, circumcision. He used the Old Testament term of circumcision to the male as a child of God, putting away the filth of the flesh. Cutting it is cut so it's put down. In fact, he says here in Romans 8, mortify the deeds of the flesh, put it to death. You can't do that without the new birth because you don't know how to do it, and neither did any of us know how to do it at that particular time. So the highest standing we have now to enjoy is in Jesus Christ. This is where we are born into the family of God. I want to just turn over with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2 for just a moment. I want to read a verse where I'm proving to you what I'm talking about. In Colossians chapter 2, look with me in verse 9. For Paul said this, for in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that we need as the body of Christ, we get through Jesus Christ. And notice he said, and I would expect verse 10 after I read verse 9, because for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, I would expect then, if I have him, ye are complete in him. I'm not looking for anything else to be saved, because I'm complete in him. But I am looking that if God's going to manifest that I'm saved, there's some things got to take place in this body, because that's what the world will see when we say that we're Christian. And as it said at Antioch, there's Christian. So he's talking about this now. The highest legal standing we have, we enjoy it right now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, Paul told the church at Corinth. And we were birthed into the family of God. It's now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to see we're birthed. It's now, a birth now. By the way, if I had some way to reason in the mother's womb, I didn't have to wait till I was born physically outside the mother's womb, know that I was a physical birth or a physical child. Since I could not think that way, then I found out when I was born later, and a couple of years later, I really found out what it was like. But being a child of God, we are not like a baby in a womb, though that's a good example how we are spiritually, because we need to grow in grace and knowledge to understand what we need to do as a child of God, just like we need to grow physically, academically, and otherwise in a body to know what we should do in this physical life. Don't that make sense? Do we not understand why God uses earthly things and patterns and as he called parables, to teach spiritual truth? Because you can see, and I've said this probably 100 times, you can see those parables, you can see those spiritual truth, you see that corn in the ground, you can see those things, that grapevine, you can see those things in earthly life. Then he uses that to protrude something, that if you open let God open your eyes for spiritual truth that happens to us. So God does not stop here, though, just the fact that we're saved in Christ. And in his court, having declared us righteous, the scripture calls that justification. Go to Romans chapter 3. Those that he had just, and of course you get in Romans chapter 8, he talks about those that he justified. Those that he justified. See, down he said about verse 28, for you know he in the predestinated be conformed to the image of his son. Then he said, moreover, whom he predestinated, he also called, and those he called, he justified. He declared it right. We'll put those together a little bit later too. To be declared right. God transformed us, Romans. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. Be ye cannot conform to this world, but be ye transformed. You see, to be saved, you have to be transformed before you can be conformed. Does that make sense? As a matter of fact, if you think with me just a moment, when Paul said in Romans chapter 12, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transformed means to be changed thoroughly. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be changed thoroughly. Now listen to me. You know you and I can't change ourselves thoroughly. We have no power to change ourselves. It takes another power. That's the reason it has to be from the inside, not outside. You know what? It's very obvious sometimes if religious people start outside in, they don't have a whole lot. Because God starts inside out. And we're transformed inside, changed thoroughly. That's the reason God said you were born again. It's different. It's a life. You transform thoroughly from the inside. And when that happens, the new birth has taken place. And we're in a prenatal period waiting for the final delivery. And during that time, God says, I am conforming you. That is, he's fashioning us like unto the body of Christ. Now listen, transformation is instant. But the fashion takes a long time, right? Now, how did God prove that? He gives an example, the potter on the potter on a wheel. You just don't throw that lump of clay on all the appears, does it? What does he do? He's working that thing. Boy, that feels good. And he fakes it in, and finally, after a period of time, he gets it. If it ain't just right, he closes it, and he starts again. It takes time for the potter to work on the wheel, to form what needs to come out. And so God gives us all of this as we look at to compare to. So what happens, he justifies us. Scripture calls this justification that he declares us right. How? But what we do? No. No. You tell me, how does he declare us right? Tell me. Through Jesus Christ. There's no other way, folks. That's when he said, no, the name given unto me, no one in heaven, whereby we must be saved. That's when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by me, John 14, verse 6. So it's through Jesus Christ. And so I understand that my justification has to be through him. I have to be where he says I'm justified. If not, I'm not. I can't say I'm just justified to be justified. I have to say, if I know I'm justified, why? Because he made me justified. How? I can explain to you how he made me justified, declared right, because I was washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, tell me how you did that. I just believe. Well, tell me how you did that. If thou shalt confess that I'm out the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, you've got an answer biblical for everything. And that helps you conform. And so when he talks about being conformed, he's fashioned us like into the body of Christ. And we can deal with that a little bit later in detail as we get to those errors as far as life is concerned. And then Peter adds to this, and as I said before in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says it's in Christ, and he said, you've been filled in him, you're filled up to the fullness of God. And Peter asks, as that believers have been granted all things that pertain to life of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me and see how Peter's writing. See, these men do not disagree with each other. In fact, they enhance each other in what they believe because the Holy Spirit's behind what they read or what they write. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and this will be about it, and verse 3. Watch how Peter puts this. He said, according as his divine power had given unto us all things. Now, God, whose divine power? It's not some pseudo-God, it's God. According to God's divine power, according to his divine power, he said, notice, he had given power, had given unto us all things. Why? That pertaineth, or how? That pertaineth unto life and godliness. Now, God has given me all things, if I'm truly saved, that pertaineth to life and godliness. Two things there. Help me out. What is the life he's talking about here? Eternal life. Then what is that life? What is the symptom of that life? Godliness. Right? You expect someone to have some godliness about them if they have his eternal life. And that comes from the knowledge after you understand you're saved. And this book is that. And that's what he tells us. Watch. Peter confirms the same thing what we see Paul said in his writings. He's all things pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that had called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us. Now, this understanding of the calling, here's what he's done for us. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these things you might be partakers. What? In other words, listen, folks. Romans 10:9. If thou hast confessed with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only promise I've got. Ain't it you? And that's the only promise you got? When you talk about beginning. Now, there's more to it, but that starts it. And that's what he's talking about here. The promises of God pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, what, these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine life. And once you are partakers of it, you escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. You have an avenue now to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He's saying you don't have to do the things Satan does now because you have a power in you that been transformed. And as you begin to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and God tells us, if you look in Romans 8, what we fix to read, that this is something he planned from the beginning when he saw us to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's the reason I know every year I'm here, somehow or another, with all my weak places, God is doing things conforming me to the image of his Son. And so is he you. He may have a little more hard times with some and others because of the way we grow. Because you don't know what to do just from mental assets being alive. If you go that way, you'll pick things many times that won't please God. This book has been given to us and preserved for our particular day. And he goes on, and he said, and beside this, he gives all diligence. He talks about add to your faith. Now, that's what knowledge does. You begin to add. You learn this, you learn this, you practice. You don't learn and not practice, you learn, practice. If a person learns and then learns and then learns and not practices, he's not going to know much. God's going to give you something, learn, you practice it. Once you practice, you get it in you, then you learn more, you practice, you learn more and you practice. And that's what he sets forth. That's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it helps us when we get a glimpse of that as we look at it from God's Word. So if you're a Christian, the life of God dwells in your soul, and with all that you need that you have for heaven, the principle of eternal life is already in us if we're truly born again. It means that you have title to heaven and the present possession that God has for us, just waiting for the rapture to take place or death to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And death takes place and everything's on hold until everybody's done it one time, because that which comes in inheritance won't come until Jesus comes back for the church and we go for the Bema seat of Christ. So there, the people say, what happens now when a person died? The Bible just said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And so there's a waiting place. It's a poor, crude example. Have you ever been to the doctor and had to wait an hour for him? You're already there, but you're waiting for him. Well, let me just say this. When you and I die, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, we're just waiting until the Lord said, Gable, blow the horn. And then we come get the glorified body, and then everything stops. It's like, you heard me saying before, it's like a ball game. If you got let's say you got 5 minutes left in a ball game, and it gets right down to 4 minutes and 55 seconds, and you got 5 seconds left, that ball game's not over. And did you know if it stays there, 4 minutes, 5 seconds, not over, that ball game's never completed? If that clock never picks up again, that ball game's never completed. Now, that's a crude example, but that's what God is saying. God said, he's a true God, and said, we have some body to be present with the Lord. There's some form of body he's going to have us there, but the glorified body is going to be given to all of us at the same time when the rapture takes place, and then rewards will be passed out and things like that. So he goes on, if you're a Christian, this dwells in you now. And the principle of life is already in you. It meaning you have a title, all that you need for heaven. It means that you have the title to heaven and possessions. You have already passed from death and life. Let me read this verse. Now, believe me, this is it. Look at me in John chapter 24, 5. And here's what Jesus said. And this puts a cap on what I just said. When you and I find ourselves trusting Christ as Savior, we already have present possession of that life. You have passed from death into life. And Jesus tells this in John chapter 5, verse 24. Please turn there with me. I want you to see what he said now. And we'll read it in sequence to understand it. He says it, verily, verily, truly, truly, listen, listen. Let your ears perk up. Notice, very verily, I say unto you. Now, we know he's talking to here in this day, to these people. But ladies and gentlemen, in the age of grace, now he's talking to any of us. Because this works for any of us. Notice he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. How can I know that? Book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. What? Faith comes by hearing. And where does hearing come from? By the word of God. So right here, you know, it means just no matter where the scripture's at, it's always in context. To add to scripture is not to add to misinform, but add to understand. So you bring scripture in your mind, and that gives you clout and gives you really powerful understanding, more so what's going on. But I say unto you, he that heareth my word. You know what he tells you, the person who hears the word of God? You're hearing me talk right now. But you know what? You're not getting all of it. And I know that because I'm sitting there, I wouldn't be getting all of it. Someone not saved, they hear the word of God. It's not hearing the word of God. That's hearing here. You can hear here till you die and still go to hell. Because you got to hear, not just hear. You hear here and then you receive here. That's the only way to tell it. The inner man receives. And he's saying, this person has gone by the whosoever door. The call's been there. The call's been there. The call's been there. And suddenly it gets his attention. And not only he hear the words, but they become part of the power of the Spirit to draw him to believe that God cannot lie. And that's what got me in Romans. As a religious person in church, got me in Romans 10, 9, 10. Thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart, God's raised the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's told if I put my name there, my name would be, because he didn't say thy, he didn't say Charles, because if he had been another Charles, and if he said Charles Singler, he'd already been saved. That made sense to me, a religious person sitting on a pew. He said, if thou, that means anybody. You mean to tell me anybody? Yes, if any, thou is anybody. Anybody put their name there. And so when you put your name there, it becomes personal, not just general. I'm glad the call is generally, but the name is personal. So if Charles shall believe in Charles's heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, so he's talking about, Charles shall be saved. Then the first thing came up, how can I believe that? You remember that when you got saved? What makes that no more real when I'm in the church now? How do I know God to do that? You know what he did? He one day let my eyes run over on Titus chapter 1, verse 2. You know what he said? God cannot lie. Now, God, he wrote Romans 10, 9, 10 if he wrote Titus 1, 2. He wrote John 3, 16, much so as Romans 10. So if God cannot lie, and God said that, and I did that, then God cannot lie. He must do what he said he'd do. You see how it does, folks? It ain't bragging. It's growing. Growing. When I got saved, I had a lot of things. You heard me talk about it. And that's a bewildered way to be. But I'll tell you this. Boy, you get along with God this book, you begin to seek and long to know, and suddenly over a period of years, God will just cram this book over and over. And you can't explain it. You'll be studying over here and you'll forget it. You'll be studying something over here and you forget it. You'll be studying something over here and you forget it. So I'll say something, you go study that and forget it. And one day all of a sudden you'll be studying something, he'll connect these two together. And here's what I say, folks, listen, don't ever quit on him. I mean, you may have to readjust, but don't quit on him, because what happens to this? We must use what he gives us no matter where we use it. I may not be able to use things in the future like I can and have been in the past because of age and other things, but I can still be used of God somehow or another. And what God does is this. He lets us see as we're growing in grace and knowledge. He knows what's going on. But I learned this, and I learned this, and I learned this. And suddenly I'll be studying something, and he put these two together. Why? He's connecting us now to see how it works for us. Because if we don't ever see how it works for us, we can't tell nobody else how it works. You say, what makes it so much different? Because a lot of folks disagree with you. That's all right. You know what I say to that? I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not going to be upset someone if they disagree and they go somewhere else, because I'm happy for me. It isn't because I've not been put this in my mind by somebody who's dictated to me. It's been studied for 57 years in this book. And I still don't know much. But I thank God that every word. Now you get to some of those things, we're going to see that. You're going to see that in the future. You're going to get some of these things that sound like there's a double talk. If I say to you, can I get ahead? No, I got to quit. You got to quit. If I'd say to you this, I'll just give this to you. God knows everything. There's nothing hid from him. He knows everything. Not only that, he knows it before it happens. Would you believe that? Yes. But wait a minute. I know where's the time he said to those who are not saved, I never knew you. Did he lie? But you look at the surface, to know and to know, new and know is the same. We think. That's the way we use it. But with Scripture, you have to study words, because there's an intent there. And we'll get to that later. I'll just hang that out. There's a little bit of a carrot, you know, a little bit of meat. Because this is what gets me. How do you define things that people say? Hey, you got a contradiction, right? See, your Bible contradicts itself all the time. Here you got your Jesus talking one way, see, that he knows everything because he's God. And next moment he says, I don't know you. Father, we thank you again for the precious word of God. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Not to be puffed up, but be humble, to walk in this world in a loving way. Then people may see you in us. Lord, if we don't have some standard now to understand what you've done for us, we'll be tossed to and fro. Lord, I'll be honest with you. If in looking the other night at what I've seen and this about who God is, if I didn't know who the real God was, I'd be as confused as a cat in a hailstorm. I wouldn't know what to do, Lord, because everything seems so real, and there's so many thousands of people following each one of these groups, and they have these big meetings, and sometimes millions will come to them. Dear Lord, if we didn't have something that's more authority in our life, not to puff us up and make us think we're somebody. God, help us never be to a place of that, because God will cause us to walk humble if he has to knock props out from under us. Help us be humble with the truth that people will listen, because not only they hear, but Father, they see it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.